You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. We are joined now by Ryan Morrow, who is a national security analyst for the Clarion Project. And Ryan, I wanted to pick your brain a little bit about our Congress. They seem to be, proving their exceedingly low ratings of popularity from everybody seem to be warranted. And in the recent somewhat, you know, ridiculous and theatrical reaction to the Orlando shooting, there was an attempt to circumvent the U.S. Constitution or subvert it by creating a no-fly, no-buy bill, which would have stopped anyone on the terrorist watch list from buying a gun. Now, I guess if you don't pay much attention, that does sound like a great idea, and it polls really well with the American public. Until you get to the fact that that's a complete loss of due process, and given the government's history of using, you know, political things like that against its enemies, not something most of us really want to trust them with. But the fun part was CARE actually called out the Democrats because this was going to be disproportionately affecting Muslims. Give us a little info on that one.
Right. We have an article that I wrote at the Clarion Project website at clarionproject.org about this. Making the point that not only as a matter of principle should progressives not be allied with groups like CARE that are linked to the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the antithesis of progressive ideas, but also when it comes to political stuff, whenever there's a disagreement, CARE jumps to you're an anti-Muslim bigot, and it's not a conservative or right-wing thing, and this is the best example of it. So CARE comes out against this bill that would say if you're on the no-fly list or you're on the selectee list, which are two lists that are part of the overall watch list, so it's fairly narrow, then you're supporting the taking away of civil liberties of Muslims. So here's what they said. They say, we oppose the bill because it appears to limit the ban on firearms purchases to American Muslims. And then it says it only applies constitutional limitations on the American Muslim community, which is disproportionately impacted by federal watch lists. So they're conceding that most people on the watch list are probably going to be Muslim, which they've fought that notion for a long time, that there's a disproportionate number of terrorists that are Islamic. And then secondly, they're going after the left now instead of using some of the same arguments that the right uses like you did it with constitutional issues. They jump straight to, no, this bill is designed to take away the rights of Muslims. That's what this is about.
Well, I wonder if they realize that. They're not really the best at this. You know, they seem to shoot themselves in the foot, to mix a fun metaphor there, as often as they do anything good for the Muslim community. Because like you said, they are so quick to immediately, they're like Black Lives Matter. We will call everything racism. The second it affects any issue we're interested in, we throw the racism card and see what happens next. They throw the Islamophobia card, and then by doing so, cop to the fact that, okay, the terrorists that we're watching are not just disproportionately, but almost completely Muslims and Islamists.
Right, and what's real interesting to me about this is just how bold they were in their statements, whereas normally they twist things to take it out of context. This is such a jump for them in terms of the transparent deception, because there's a lot of people that oppose the bill for the reasons that you mentioned, because they said this threatens the constitutional rights of all Americans, and that's their point of view. But what CARE is saying, no, it only affects Muslims. This is designed somehow in the language to just take away the rights of Muslim Americans and not non-Muslims that are on the terror watch list, which just makes no sense. There's no word in the legislation coming anywhere near that. And so their deception is just that transparent that that was also surprising to me, that they were this, really this reckless.
Let's talk about another bit of Orwellian language abuse that our government is engaged in. The Obama administration, and this actually dates back into the Bush administration, nobody has wanted to call this Islamist terror. We've finally gotten to the point where the Republicans call it radical Islamic terror, but Obama and Hillary refuse to acknowledge the fact that the ideology that motivates the jihad comes from Islam. And to do their supposed work in countering terror, they've invented the concept of countering violent extremism. again, specifically to whitewash the cause of 90%, which CARE now seems to have joined us in admitting is Islamist. And the Congress just recently passed a bill in response to Orlando, throwing a bunch of money at countering violent extremism, as opposed to generating a counter-terror policy that identifies the enemy and allows our law enforcement organs right now to do their job, which right now they can't. They're handcuffed. They're not allowed to be taught about Islamism. They're not allowed to be taught. They're not at this point allowed to use the word Sharia and jihad. So do you see a combination of things where CARE and in this case, the Obama administration are all working to whitewash the cause of this problem?
Oh, without a doubt. And that's been meticulously documented by the Center for Security Policy that you work for. We've done a lot of work on it at the Clarion Project. And it's so shocking and so unbelievable to me that I honestly sometimes have to print out my articles on this whitewashing that's gone on, how the training guidelines have been altered to block out even moderate Muslims that speak out against Islamism, to prove against myself that this is reality. Because there's times it's so outrageous, I'll say to myself, there's got to be some area where this was exaggerated or I got something wrong, and I read through everything, and it still surprises me. And there's also new information I received about the cleansing of the databases that Philip Haney has talked about, the Homeland Security whistleblower, in regards to Tablighi Jamaat and the Muslim Brotherhood. Well, that cleansing of information also happened with a group that I intensely study called Jamaat al-Fukra. They operate under the name Muslims of the Americas, and I now have several law enforcement sources that tell me that at the exact same time, and these are people that don't even know Philip Haney, that his files were being cleansed, so were their files on Jamaat al-Fukra were also being cleansed, except for those related to an active criminal investigation of a specific subject.
Now, the biggest problem in the entire Islamist world, you could make a toss-up. The Saudis and Iran are huge state sponsors, but the Muslim Brotherhood is the overarching umbrella organization that really leads the charge for the validation and growth of the caliphate worldwide. There is a bill in Congress that is designed to do what many other nations around the world have done and designate the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist group, which would allow us to freeze their finances and conduct better investigations. And this is stalled in Congress. Unbelievable to me, but what's going on there?
Right, this is a really ridiculous example of failed leadership, because Hamas is a subsection of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is designated as a terrorist group, but then the Muslim Brotherhood isn't. It's just bizarre. And so this legislation called the Muslim Brotherhood Terrorist Designation Act has been proposed, and we've been trying to build support, as your organization has, for it. And now over 80 members of Congress, including two Democrats, have co-sponsored it. But it's stuck. It is stuck in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, where Senator Corker has not held scheduled hearings or brought up for a vote. Senator Marco Rubio hasn't done anything to indicate support for it, despite everyone trying. So there's a bit of a story there, I think. And then the House, it actually passed the Judiciary Committee, but the Republican leadership in the House has not brought it up for a vote. They have not even scheduled it, and from what I hear, they're not even talking about doing it. It's just so remarkable to me because it's a win politically if they want to be selfish. But in terms of national security, this is an easy argument to win. You can go to most Democrats and say, do you support Hamas? And they say, hell no. And say, all right, well, the Muslim Brotherhood is the parent group of Hamas. Should we get rid of it? And most, I think, would actually say, you know what, that sounds like a good idea.
Well, that seems to be a problem. Fortunately, we've got an election coming up, so hopefully some of those folks will feel some pressure from the voters. We've been talking with Ryan Morrow, National Security Analyst for the Clarion Project. Thanks a lot for those insights, Ryan. Up next, we will speak with Dr. Desmond Lachman, Resident Fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. This is Jim Hansen sitting in for Frank Gaffney doing Secure Freedom Radio.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.